Good morning. This is the fifth in the series on the Lord's Prayer. And this morning we're looking at our daily bread and the dependence of surrendered people. So let's open our Bibles now, please, to Matthew chapter 6. We're reading verses 9 to 11. And the word says, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread." Now, I don't know if you just noticed then as we read through the Lord's Prayer or that part of the Lord's Prayer, but there's this deliberate shift taking place in that last verse. Give us this day our daily bread. In the last message, we faced one of the most challenging prayers a believer can pray. Your will be done. And we saw that this wasn't just a line to repeat, it's a surrender of our lives. It's the laying down of our plans, our preferences, our timelines, and even our own understanding of how life ought to unfold. It's the moment where we say from the heart, "Father, not my will be done, but yours be done." And if we're honest, that's a pretty hefty prayer, and it's a costly one. We saw that it's a prayer that totally reorients us. And the thing is, if that's where Jesus leads us, then the next logical question is, how do I now live it? If I have surrendered my will to God, what does it actually look like on Monday morning? How do I walk that out in the daily walk of my life? And Jesus gives us the answer in the next line of the prayer, where he says, "Give us this day our daily bread." If your will be done is the prayer that lays our lives down before the Father, then give us this day our daily bread is the prayer that teaches us how to live there, one day at a time, dependent on him. And what we're going to see this morning is that this isn't like a stepping back from surrendering. It's actually what makes surrender possible. Because a surrendered life is not a self-sufficient life, it's a dependent one. And Jesus shows us that dependence on the Father is not a weakness to be grown out of. It's the very position he's modeled, and it's the position he now invites us into. So the central thought for this morning is simply, the surrendered life is not self-sufficient, it is sustained by daily dependence on the Father. Let me repeat that. The surrendered life is not self-sufficient, it is sustained by daily dependence on the Father. In fact, to say it another way, your will be done is the prayer of surrender. Give us this day our daily bread is the prayer that sustains that surrender. So, first point this morning, we're looking at a deliberate shift. Because up until this point, everything in the Lord's Prayer has been centered on God. Hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done. It's been all about his glory, his reign, his purposes. But now the focus shifts from heaven to earth, from the greatness of God to the needs of his people. And that shift is not by chance. Jesus is showing us something essential about the Christian life. The same God whose name is to be hallowed, the same King whose kingdom is coming, the same Father whose will we have just surrendered to, is also the one we depend on for our daily needs. The God of heaven is also the God of today. And it's important we grasp this because it can be easy to develop like a split-level spirituality where we hold the great truths of God's sovereignty and glory in one hand, and then we subtly handle the practical details of life in the other hand, as though the big things belong to God, but the ordinary things, they belong to us. But I don't think Jesus wants that separation. He's teaching us to bring the ordinary the daily, the mundane, right to the Father's throne, because nothing in our lives is too small for his attention. And this is where the order of the Lord's Prayer really matters, because Jesus doesn't teach us to begin with daily bread. He first lifts our eyes to the Father in heaven, and he teaches us to hallow the Father's name, to seek his kingdom, and to surrender to his will. But having rightly ordered our hearts around God's glory, he does not then tell us to ignore our needs. He tells us to bring them to him. So this request doesn't undo God-centered beginning of the prayer. Instead, it actually flows out of it. The Father whose name is holy is the Father who cares. The King whose kingdom is coming is the King who provides. And the God whose will we surrender to is the God we depend on for today. And that's why this verse belongs exactly where it is. Second point, what is daily bread? Hermeneutics 101 says we should always look to the plain, the literal meaning first. So when Jesus teaches us to pray for daily bread, he is speaking initially about something very literal. Provision, food, sustenance, things we need to live. Jesus is teaching us to ask the Father for what we need. Food, provision, strength, work, shelter, help, wisdom, the ordinary necessities of life. So we're not praying for excess, we're not praying for luxury or every possible comfort. We're praying for life's necessities. And that's important because it shapes how we understand our relationship with the Father. Agur, the writer of Hebrews 30, prays something remarkably similar to this. And I reckon it's one of the most honest prayers in all of Scripture. He says, "Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food that is needful for me, lest I be full and deny you and say, 'Who is the Lord?' Or lest I be poor and steal and profane the name of my God." That's the wisdom that Jesus is building on here. Not a prayer for abundance that leads to independence, and not prayer born from desperation, but a prayer that says, "Father, please give me what I need for today, and I trust you for the rest." And this fits the context of the Sermon on the Mount. Just a few verses after the Lord's Prayer, Jesus says, "Do not be anxious, for your heavenly Father knows that you need them all," or "you need all these things." So if the Father already knows what we need before we ask, it raises the question, why does Jesus tell us to ask? Because the point is not just provision, it's relationship. God does not simply want to supply our needs at arm's length. He invites us to depend on him, to come to him, to ask of him, to live in daily conscious connection with him. Jesus isn't teaching us to go to the Father as consumers, placing an order online. He's teaching us to come as children, children who trust that their Father knows what they need and who find that the asking itself draws them closer to him. This is where Jesus takes us later in Matthew 6:33 when he says, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." In other words, the prayer is not, "Father, give me bread so I can build my own kingdom." It's, "Father, as I seek your kingdom and surrender to your will, please provide what I need to walk in obedience today." So, daily bread is not at all separated from the kingdom priorities. It is his provision for kingdom obedience and kingdom living. Third point, the manna principle, learning dependence in the wilderness. To really understand what Jesus is teaching here, we need to go back to the wilderness in Exodus 16. When God brought Israel out of Egypt and into the desert, he fed them with manna, bread from heaven. It appeared on the ground each morning, fine and white, like frost on the surface of the earth. And do you remember how it worked? They could only gather enough for one day. If they tried to store it overnight, it would spoil, and it was full of worms by morning. God did not give them a warehouse, but he gave them a daily supply. The Lord has commanded, gather of it, each of you, as much as he can eat. And when they measured it, whoever gathered much had nothing left over, and whoever gathered little had no lack. Exodus 16:16-18. Now we might ask, why? Why not just provide for the whole week or the whole year? Wouldn't that have been more practical, more efficient, and perhaps even more kind? The answer is simple. God was not only feeding them, he was forming them and teaching them something deeper than just survival. He was teaching them dependence. Every single morning, Israel had to wake up and trust, God will provide again today. They could not coast on yesterday's manna. They could not rely on a stockpile. Every morning, it was a fresh act of trust. And Moses later explains why God designed it this way. In Deuteronomy 8:3, he says, he humbled you, and he let you hunger and fed you with manna, that he might make you know that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of God. So the wilderness was not so much some random detour, but more of an intentional classroom. And the lesson being taught every single morning was this: your life does not ultimately rest on your own resources. It rests on me. And Jesus takes that same principle and brings it into the life of every believer. Give us this day our daily bread. Not weekly bread, not annual provision, but daily. Why? Because daily provision is designed to produce in us daily dependence. And that's because surrender itself must be lived daily. Our surrender yesterday doesn't automatically mean our obedience today. Yesterday's manna does not sustain our walk today. Yesterday's trust must be renewed for our need today. So again, we see how these two prayers really do belong together. Your will be done is the prayer of surrender, and give us this day our daily bread is the prayer that then sustains our surrender. Fourth point, why the daily? Well, it's the gift of daily returning. There is something very intentional about the word daily. God gives daily bread because he wants daily dependence. And daily dependence keeps us in daily relationship. If he gave us everything in advance, if he advanced us every blessing, every resource, every answer we would ever need, I think we would quickly drift into independence. We would begin to rely on what we have rather than the one who gave it. The provision would become a substitute for the provider. But daily provision, it keeps us close and it brings us back again and again to the Father. It means that every single morning we begin from the same place. Lord, I need you today. The prophet Jeremiah understood this, even in the midst of great suffering. And in Lamentations 3:22-23, he says, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. new every morning, not accumulated and not stored, but fresh. And we need fresh grace, fresh strength, fresh dependence. And so we too must return every morning, every day. There's another reason that Jesus does not say, give us this week our weekly bread, or give us this year our annual provision. The daily pattern is itself part of the gift, because it's in that daily returning that closeness with the Father is created and is sustained. So can I ask you, how does your day actually begin? Not in terms of routine, but in terms of position and orientation. Do you begin the day already self-sufficient, already operating on yesterday's reserves? Or do you begin it the way Israel woke in the wilderness, looking to the Father for what only He can give? So really, this prayer is relevant at the breakfast table, before the work meeting, before school begins, in the hospital waiting room, when the bank account is tight or when energy is low, when parenting feels beyond us, when obedience feels most costly, and when tomorrow feels uncertain. It's the prayer that teaches us to begin again and again from that same place. Father, I need you today. Fifth point, which leads into this, is the danger of self-sufficiency. And one of the greatest dangers in the Christian life is not suffering, it's comfort. Because when life is going well, and when the income is steady, when the health is good, and when the plans are working out, it's very easy, almost without us noticing, to stop depending on God. Moses warned Israel about this before they entered into the promised land. After 40 years in the wilderness, learning dependence, they were about to enter into a land of abundance. And I guess God knew what abundance could do in our heart. And He says to them in Deuteronomy 8:17-18, be aware lest you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gotten me this wealth. You shall remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you the power to get wealth. Now that's a brutally honest warning. God's not saying that they wouldn't work hard. He's saying even when you do, even when your efforts succeed, even when the results are real, don't forget where that capacity came from. Don't mistake the mechanism for the source. And this is a warning that's just as relevant for us. We rely on our income, on our plans, our abilities, our stability, and slowly, almost imperceptibly, our dependence fades. We don't stop believing in God. We just slowly stop needing Him for the ordinary things. But Jesus reminds us something very humbling. You're not self-sustaining. You are dependent. And that's not some weakness. It's just the plain truth. The prayer, give us this day our daily bread, isn't just a prayer for those in crisis. It's a prayer for us every day, including the ordinary, stable, comfortable days when we're most likely to forget. And perhaps that's why gratitude is so important. Gratitude is one of the ways that God keeps His provision visible. It reminds us that even the things we've worked for are still gifts, because the strength to work, the opportunity to work, the wisdom to manage, and even the breath in our lungs, it all comes from Him. So daily bread humbles us. It teaches us that comfort is not a reason to become independent, but it's another reason to give Him thanks. Sixth point, the bread that points beyond itself. Because, of course, this request is multi-layered, and it goes beyond the physical provision, because Jesus does not only give bread, He declares Himself to be bread. In John 6, the day after He had fed 5,000 people with five loaves and two fish, the crowd come looking for him again, and Jesus says something that stops them in their tracks. He says in John 6, verse 26 to 27, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you." The crowd's response is telling. They say, "Sir, give us this bread." They're probably still thinking about the physical food. And then Jesus says in John 6:35, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, but whoever believes in me shall never thirst." This is one of the great "I am" declarations of John's gospel, and it reframes the context of this prayer. Because when we pray, "Give us this day our daily bread," we're ultimately praying for more than just food on the table. We are actually praying for the one who is the bread of life. We are declaring and expressing our dependence not just on God's provision, but on God's Son. The manna in the wilderness fed Israel for a season. But Jesus says in John 6:49-50 that those who ate the manna still died. The bread he gives is different. It's living bread. And whoever eats of it will live forever. So even this most practical of prayers, a prayer for food, for provision, for what we need to get through the day, points us back to the gospel. Our deepest need is not physical, it is spiritual. We don't just need food to live, we need Christ to live. See, every time we come to the Father asking for daily bread, we are in some sense reenacting what it means to be a disciple, coming to Jesus empty-handed, saying, "Lord, you are what I need. Without you, I have nothing." Physical provision is important, and Jesus teaches us to ask for it. But we shouldn't make the mistake of thinking physical provision is enough. Bread can sustain the body for a time, but only Christ can give eternal life. So daily bread begins with ordinary need, but it points us toward our deepest need. We need provision from the Father, but more than that, we need the Son. Seventh point, apart from me, the vine and the branches. And Jesus makes this dependence even more explicit in John 15. Speaking to the disciples on the night before his crucifixion, he says in John 15, verse 5, "I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." Apart from me, you can do nothing. Surely that's one of the most absolute statements anywhere in the New Testament. Not, "Apart from me, you will achieve less or struggle more or find things harder. Apart from me, nothing." A branch does not produce fruit by trying harder. It produces fruit by staying connected to the vine. The life, the nutrients, the fruitfulness, all of it flows out from the vine. The branch's only job is to remain. And this is what the daily bread prayer is all about. It's a prayer of a branch that knows what it is. It's the daily acknowledgement that I am not the vine. I cannot generate my own spiritual life. I cannot sustain my own obedience. I cannot produce my own fruitfulness. Only he can. And so I come today and I ask. And this is precisely the way Jesus lived. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And he has shown us the pattern in how we are to relate with our Heavenly Father. We saw in the last message that Jesus himself said in John 5:19 that the Son can do nothing of himself. And he lived in constant dependence on the Father and in the power of the Holy Spirit. And if the Son of God lived that way, how much more must we? Philippians 4:19 promises that God will supply every need of ours according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. So the question is not whether he is able. The question is whether we're actually coming to him with our needs daily, honestly, as children, rather than as people trying to manage our own walk and manage in our own strength. And this takes us back to the heart of the series. Prayer begins with relationship, our Father. Prayer is ordered by reverence. Hallowed be your name. Prayer is aligned with mission. Your kingdom come. And prayer becomes surrender. Your will be done. And now, prayer becomes the daily dependence of children who know they cannot live the surrendered life without the Father's sustaining grace. Point 8, daily bread and our daily gratitude. And there's one more dimension of this prayer that we should see. Give us this day our daily bread is not only a prayer of dependence, it's also implicitly a prayer of gratitude. And I think these two things are actually inseparable. The Jewish tradition from which Jesus was teaching had a deep culture of blessing God before eating and then giving thanks after the meal. Do you get that? Blessing God before eating and then giving thanks after the meal. The baraka, the blessing, was not a formality. It was a deliberate act of acknowledging that this food did not come from nowhere. It came from a God who provides. And we see this with Jesus. Every time he broke bread in the Gospels, before feeding the 5,000, at the Last Supper, at Emmaus, he blessed it. He received what the Father provided with gratitude. And he modeled what it looks like to hold daily provision as a gift rather than a given. And I think that's worth reflecting on, because in our Western culture, it's very easy to receive God's daily provision without actually pausing to acknowledge it. We have what we need. We eat our meals. We go about our day. And the grace of daily provision becomes less visible, not because it's stopped, but because we've stopped noticing. But the prayer, give us this day our daily bread, is designed to make us notice. It's designed to restore what the manna restored in Israel every single morning. The conscious awareness that I'm alive today because of the Father's goodness, not my own self-sufficiency. And George Mueller, the 19th century pastor who cared for thousands of orphans in Bristol, he understood this in a remarkable way. He made a deliberate decision never to make the financial needs of his orphanages known to anyone but God. No fundraising appeals, no published accounts of need. Each day, he would come before the Father and ask for what was needed that day. And day after day, sometimes with no food in the house for breakfast, provision would arrive. And he kept detailed records of God's faithfulness spanning the decades, not to impress anyone, but because he believed that a life of recorded dependence was a life of accumulated gratitude. Fortunately, few of us will be called to that kind of literal daily provision. But the posture Mueller was assuming, that of conscious, grateful daily dependence, is exactly what Jesus is teaching all of us to pray. So the point isn't that we all copy Mueller's method. The point is that we learn Mueller's posture. A life of dependence is meant to become a life of remembrance. We ask, God provides, and then we give thanks. And over time, gratitude becomes one of the ways our hearts are trained to see the Father's hand in the ordinary things. Last point, point 9, the prayer that sustains the surrender, which we've been talking about. So can you see how this all ties together? In the last message, we saw that Your will be done is one of the most costly prayers we can pray. It's the prayer of surrender. It's the prayer of laying down our own plans and our own preferences and placing our lives under the Father's authority. But that surrender needs sustaining. And that is exactly what this prayer provides. We cannot live the will of God in our own strength. We cannot sustain surrender on yesterday's grace. We need the Father today. And so we pray, give us this day our daily bread. In other words, Father, if your will is to be done in my life today, then you must sustain me. You must provide what I need. You must strengthen me for what you are calling me to. And you must carry me through what I cannot manage on my own. And suddenly we find those two prayers tied together in a way we might not have seen before. Your will be done, the prayer of surrender. Give us this day our daily bread, the prayer that sustains the surrender. One without the other doesn't work. Surrender without dependence becomes like grinding willpower. Dependence without surrender becomes passive disobedience. But together, they describe the life Jesus himself lived, fully yielded to the Father's will, and fully sustained by the Father's provision. Let me conclude, and we're going to look at living at one day at a time. Give us this day our daily bread. This is not a complicated prayer. It's not even a sophisticated prayer. In fact, it's one of the simpler prayers in Scripture. But suddenly its simplicity contains a profound and daily challenge. Will I live as though I am self-sufficient, or will I live as a child who depends on their Father? God is not asking us to trust for a lifetime all at once. He's asking us to trust him today, and then tomorrow to come again, and the day after that to come again. And in that daily returning, that daily coming back to the Father, empty-handed and expectant, something begins to change in us. We find that the dependence deepens into trust, and that trust deepens into closeness. And in closeness with the Father turns out to be the very thing our hearts have been crying out for. Nearly 200 years ago, the Prince of Preachers, Charles Spurgeon, said that he had learned more about God in his times of desperate need than in all his times of comfortable abundance. Because need drives us to our knees, and our knees are exactly where the Father wants us. So the question is not, do I believe God will provide? I think most of us would say, yes, he does. The better question is, will I come to him today? Will I actually live the dependence I profess to believe? Because the life of surrender is sustained by a life of dependence. And the life of dependence is lived one day at a time. So perhaps the question as we finish is very simple. What are you carrying as though it depends entirely on you? What need have you stopped bringing to the Father? And where are you trying to obey God's will without depending on God's provision? And where are you asking for provision without truly surrendering to the Father's will? Do you see how Jesus teaches surrendered people to pray like children? Father, give us this day our daily bread. And he shows us that the surrendered life is not self-sufficient. It is sustained by this daily dependence on the Father. Because it is there that we find the joy. It is there that we find the very thing we're created for, that relationship and that fellowship with a loving Heavenly Father. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that we can come to you not as strangers, but as your children through Jesus. Please help us to render our lives honestly when we pray your will be done, and then to depend on you daily as we pray. Give us this day our daily bread. Please, Lord, forgive us for the times we have lived as though we were self-sufficient, relying on our own little strength and our own limited plans and our own meager resources instead of coming to you. And please, Lord, remind us each day that every good gift, every breath, every provision, and every grace comes from your loving hand. And help us not only to receive daily bread with gratitude, but also to seek first your kingdom and walk in obedience to your will. And above all, Lord, please draw us continually to Jesus, the true bread of life, without whom we have nothing and can do nothing. And sustain us one day at a time, Father, so that our surrendered lives may be lived in joyful dependence on you, and that our lives may be fruitful for you. In Jesus' name, Amen.